from was Scott Loss coming up here. When I was here, we were there. Morgan was here. And my wife is here as well. It was a family deal. She was the substitute organist and my secretary as well. So it was a team effort. First reading is from the 16th chapter of Acts. One day, as we were going to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners a great deal of money in fortune telling. While she followed Paul and us, she would cry out, "These men are slaves of the Most High God who proclaim to you a way of salvation." She kept doing this for many days, but Paul, very much annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, "I order you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out that very hour. But when her owners saw that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace with the authorities. When they had brought them before the magistrates, they said, "These men are disturbing our city. They are Jews and are advocating customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to adopt or observe." The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates had them stripped of their clothing and ordered them to be beaten with rods. After they had given them a severe flogging, they threw them into prison and ordered the jailer to keep them securely. Following these instructions, he put them in the innermost cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was an earthquake, so violent that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately, all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. When the jailer woke up and saw the prison doors wide open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, since he supposed that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted in a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." The jailer called for lights and, rushing in, fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them outside and said, "Sirs, what must I do?" They answered, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." They spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. At the same hour of the night, he took them and washed their wounds. Then he and his entire family were baptized with delay. He brought them up into the house, set food before them, and he and his entire household said that he had become a believer in God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
For our home, we'll sing hymn number 835. I think it's printed in your bulletin, verses 1 and 6.
All creatures worship God most high, sound every voice in earth and sky.
To repay according to everyone's work, Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they will have the right to the tree of life and may enter the city by the gates. It is I, Jesus, who sent my angel to you with this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and I say, come. And let everyone who hears say, come. And let everyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who wishes take the water of life as a gift. The one who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all the saints. Amen. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
According to St. John, the 17th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus prayed, I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me, and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given so that they may be one as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am. See glory which you have given me, because you have loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I have made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
You may be seated. I invite the children to come. How are you guys doing? Good. All group this morning, aren't we? All right. Ben's here somewhere? Okay. All right. We'll get him. That's good. Do you ever share things with other people? What kind of things do you share? What? Come on. Okay. Do you share your toys? Do? And art supplies? Okay. Do you ever share secrets? Do you share them with everybody? So there aren't any. No, well. We have something that's not a secret. How did you know Jesus? Mom told you? Did they just told you that? Did you know that's not a secret? It's not a secret. In fact, I bet somebody told them they had to, didn't they? Who them? The church. Church, and they just kept passing it on, right? And Jesus comes into the picture too, doesn't he? Well, today, I want to help, you can help me sing a song. And I think everybody has a copy of it in their bulletin. It's called Pat On. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to on that good news. So, you want to join me up here? We'll sing. We'll sing Pass It On. By the way, this collar, this collar that was that we have from Pastor Pierre, I think that's what he calls it, the first pastor of the church. And it's not as stiff and difficult as it feels. It's not truly soft, but it's nice. So, I pass you the word. Years ago, I was in Springfield, Missouri. Now, if anybody's ever been in that area, you know that Missouri doesn't have much topsoil. In fact, not that much. And then you have Missouri gold, which is, and there's a lot of rock. So I decided, I liked to garden, so I decided to build a cinder block of raised beds. They were 4 foot by 6 foot, six of them. They spread out. And I put these there, and I put mortar between the bricks and stacked them the way that I thought they should be. And it really looked good. But then I had to fill them. And for a Nebraska boy to have to buy a truckload of dirt really hurt. But I did it. I filled the raised beds and I planted and they looked really good for a while. And then all at once I noticed cracks that were open. And in fact, the first season, one end of one of them didn't look like it stay all winter. And it didn't. A friend came and asked me what I built it. And I said, well, I just stacked these bricks up and I put mortar between them. And he said, well, did you put a foundation down? I said, well, no, I didn't think I needed to. The ground was pretty solid. He said, that's your problem. So the next fall, a couple of them actually fell apart. In fact, the next year, I finally ended up tearing the whole thing apart. Because without a foundation, there was nothing to hold it. A forward foundation is critical to most buildings. We have a bunch of builders here who know about. You wouldn't think of building a house or a church or anything else without a solid foundation. In 1765, the city of Lisbon, Portugal, had a tremendous earthquake. And because of it, 60 to 100,000 people were killed. And the reason was that none of the buildings had foundations. In 1997, a lot later than that, in Asuncion, Paraguay, they built a brand new, beautiful soccer stadium. The very first game that was played, there was this rumbling and cracking and creaking, and all at once, the stadium with 5,000 people collapsed. 3 people died, 500 were injured.
And again, they found that they'd taken a shortcut and hadn't bothered to put in a foundation. They thought it would hold itself. Foundations are so critical in all things, especially when it comes to our faith. The builders of our faith, way back in 100 years ago, knew how important that foundation was. Why do you think that a Danish pastor would come to this area and start a church? Was it because thousands of people were there? Hey, pastor, come! We're pastor! That, you got the wrong thing, because I've read the history. And this is true with the Union Congregational. The pastors barely eked out a living, barely survived, because they really believed that God had called them, that there was a foundation. But without a foundation, things do fall apart. Remember Joshua and Jericho? Well, in Jericho, Jericho had walls that were 4 foot thick. And the people of Jericho said, those stupid Hebrews coming up from Egypt, what do they know? They aren't talented as military men. There's no way they're going to get through this. But the rest of it's in the song, and you probably know it. Joshua in the battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. We sing on, but it's not the battle of Jericho, and he's tumbling down. Up to the walls of Jericho, he marched with spear in hand. The blow was rampant, Joshua cried, "Cause the battle is in my hands." Oh, Joshua in the battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Oh, Joshua in the battle of Jericho, and the walls came on. Then the lamb ran, sheep horn began to blow, and the trumpet began to sound. And Joshua commanded the shout, and the walls came and tumbled down. Oh, battle of Jericho, 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 Joshua, battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down. Well, that is when we put our trust in something that is on a solid foundation. Paul didn't need a trumpet, and he didn't need to shout. He had been beaten with rods and thrown in prison, figuring he was going to have to suffer even worse at the hands of the magistrates. But he didn't shout and didn't play a trumpet. He sang hymns and prayed. And guess what? The Lord took care of the rest. The earthquake, the angel led him out. All of that because Paul believed that he had a solid foundation in Jesus Christ. Christ was his sure foundation. Christ was his mighty fortress against all odds, against all else. Most of you probably know that the American Indians, the North American and South Indians, both developed a special kind of corn. Most corn, if you put it in a fry pan and raise the temperature to about 400 degrees, will actually get hard, brittle, and actually burn up. But the kind that they developed was really special, because when it reaches 400 degrees, it explodes, and the inside becomes a white puff of goodness that we all call popcorn. Have you ever watched popcorn when it's popping in a popper? It just keeps building and building and building. That's the way the faith of when things got really bad, no matter how they suffered, their faith lifted them up from the pits. They suffered shipwrecks and stonings and beatings, imprisonments, and even as he's sitting in prison in Rome awaiting almost certain execution, he declares, "Nothing, nothing in all may separate us from the love of God, which is ours in Christ Jesus." All of his efforts, all of his energy, all of his belief, and all of his foundation was right there in Jesus Christ. Even the Apostle John, who writes to us in the book of Revelation, who has gone through beatings, He's on the island of Patmos and suffering. Last week we read about his vision of the holy city, the new Jerusalem. And this week we're reminded, as he talks about people washing their robes in the blood of the Lamb. Actually, that's another phrase, but it's the same passage in another place. And can you imagine that? Washing your robe in blood? That sounds kind of disgusting to me, doesn't it to you? I mean, how many of you have ever done that? You know, I don't see too many hands. No. They're not taking that literally. They're seeing within the blood that they washed their robes in, the blood that was on their robes as they were beaten, as they were martyred. And that blood reminded them of the blood of their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is their foundation and their fortress, who prays for them in the gospel today. Isn't that a powerful prayer? Jesus wants them all to be one. Father, as I am in you and you are in me, may we be in them, so that the world will know that you have sent me. There's a little phrase there that's really critical. It's so that. It's really critical, and we'll come back to it. But I want you to do something. Take out your bulletin, and this is an assignment. I know, sermon notes, that kind of thing. Take out your bulletin, and there should be a pen or pencil somewhere handy. I want you to write something down. I'm not a math genius. In fact, I made it through algebra by the skin of my teeth. But this is an algebraic equation. It's called a computative process. And what this is an equation. What you write down is a 3 plus 5. Got that? Kids, how much is 3 plus 5?
8.
We got it. Some math geniuses among us, that's for sure. Now, put parentheses around that 3 plus 5. And in front of it, put a 7. Now, the computative process means that everything within that bracket gets multiplied by the number on the outside. So, if you multiply the 7 times the 3, what do you get? 21. Who said 26? If you multiply 3 times 5, what do you get? 35. Add them together, and what do you get? 56. I'll save some. Oh, you had it, didn't you? All right, fantastic. All right, now, take that same equation, and underneath that, I want you to write another one. And in parentheses, you can put Christ plus me. Okay? Christ plus me in the parentheses. And on the outside, at the beginning of it, put God. Now imagine the solid foundation you create when you multiply God times Jesus times me. Or you, because that's what we're really all about, creating the foundation that is not just what we are or what we have been, but what Christ can make us. He is that foundation who multiplies everything in our presence. God calls us to be his people from the past and into the future. There is nothing in all creation that can separate us from that love. And now, God calls us to a new future. What is the congregation going to be like 100 years from now? Next Sunday is Pentecost, the day when we remember that the Holy Spirit came down upon the church. I have a prayer for you. If all goes well tomorrow with Sue, we're heading for New Mexico and then a little vacation in Sicily. Yeah, look forward to that somewhat. I'm not ready for it. But anyway, all the while that I'm gone, I will be praying for St. Luke's and for Union Congregational Church. And my prayer is this, that the Holy Spirit will come down upon you in a mighty way, as he did on that first Pentecost. That the Holy Spirit will take care of all the negatives and bring about all of the positives that make this the most powerful congregation you can possibly be. Because you see, Jesus didn't come into this world just to have a lark. He came because God sent him into this world and gave this world his blessing. Jesus gave us and gives us his body and his blood each time we receive him in communion. So that. Now I came back to that word, so that. It begins actually in Genesis chapter 12, verse 12. Excuse me. Verse 12. Where God tells Abraham, I will bless you in order that, so that you will be a blessing to the nations. He isn't blessing Abraham just because he's a nice guy. He's blessing Abraham so that he will be a witness to a great nation. Jesus didn't come into the world in any other way. He came into this world so that the world might know that God is love. He gives us his body and blood so that we will become his body in the world. Jesus gave his body and his life on the cross so that we would be forgiven and we would be given new life. Jesus rose from the dead so that we would know that we too have a resurrection to look forward to. And Jesus comes into our lives every day of our life that we invite him so that we can truly be the people of God that he called us to be. May we be all of that. And since I'm going to be praying that prayer every day, I pray that you will also. Amen. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen.